Good morning, church. Let's light the Advent candle.
Advent is a time of preparing for Christmas. The Advent wreath decorating our church is a sign that Christmas is near. Last week, we lit three candles, candles of hope, peace, and joy. Today, we will light the candle of love. Christmas is a time when God's love for us is shown in a surprising way. God's Son, Jesus, is sent to this world as a human being. Let's sing together.
Come wander where lion at the gently play, where evil is banished and faith takes the day. A babe in a manger to fool the world's eyes. One candle is lit for God's loving surprise.
Thank you, God, for giving us your love in Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church. How are we today? I am not going to bore you with historical facts about today, but because this year was or is a leap year, today, December the 22nd, is the 357th day of the year. 9 days remain until the end of the year. And there are only 3 sleeps until Christmas. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are a child, the last piece of trivia there is the most important.
Yeah, exactly.
However, to us, as Christians, we think of it as 3 sleeps until we say, "Happy birthday, Jesus." Actually, have you ever noticed we never, or we hardly ever, sing "Happy birthday" to Jesus? We do as we do each other. On the other hand, we sing Christmas carols like "Joy to the World." Please stand.
Incredible, I reckon.
Heavenly Father, the birth of Christ that we celebrate in 3 days' time is in fact the birth of love into a hurting world. That birth we celebrate is the birth of a new way of loving, because you, who is love itself, came to us as a child and over the years taught us that love is not something we should keep to ourselves, but should share with all peoples everywhere. You gave us a new commandment that we should love one another just as you loved us. us with love and help us to share that love with all your creation this Christmas. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. All right, just some notices. Over the next few weeks we've got quite a few things happening around the church. Christmas service flyers. On the table out there, there are a few small flyers. If you have time or have the inclination, please grab a handful, take them and just deliver them around where you live, just into letterboxes. Don't put them in the ones that say no junk mail. We'll get into trouble otherwise. Kirsten does that quite often. She doesn't put them in those, but she does delivery. She's done quite a few around the area. I think there's a map still out there as to where we have delivered already, so do that. Now, Christmas services. Today is Sunday, 22nd. It's the last one that we'll actually be live streaming. So, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Christmas Eve. David will be leading it, and I believe it's going to be a really good service because I'm playing drums for church. So that doesn't make it good. Christmas morning, if you're awake in time, 9 o'clock in the morning.
9 o'clock. It's going to be a good one. 9 o'clock. That's when the big hand's going straight up and the other hand's going to the left. 9 o'clock.
Easter clock.
I've got to be here at 7:45, so don't complain about getting here for 9 o'clock.
All right. Sunday, the 29th of December, that's next Sunday, we will be having service in the park. So if you look straight across there, under those trees, that's where we will be. Please bring a chair to sit on, unless you want to sit on the dirty grass, or a picnic rug if you think you can get on the floor and stand up again. I have difficulty standing up again after my knees. Bring a picnic lunch, drinks if you want drinks and stuff like that. We should be able to... I'm leading that day, so I'm going to try and do up some song sheets for songs so we can hand them out to people. So probably just on an A4 piece of paper, just doing some Christmas carols, I believe. Well, at this stage, that's what I'm planning. And it won't be a very long service, probably about 45 minutes maybe, I don't know. So depending about that, it won't be long.
Hey,
yes?
Can I just flag the possibility if it's going to be too hot?
Yeah, I've got that. Sorry. David sent me a list of the notices for today, and on the end of that one he said, just in case, if the day looks like it's going to be a stinker, and I believe that means wet or excessively hot, or both, the service will be in here. So just keep an eye on the weather, because it's going to be 42, I think, on Boxing Day. So 37 on Christmas Day, so the weather is warming up, but there is a cool change coming in late on Boxing Day, apparently. But that's according to Bon this morning. So January the 14th, Circle of Friends will be on 1:30 till 3 p.m. Here at the church for any women to come and share a cuppa and a chat. January the 19th, a friend of mine is going to be coming to play here, Vanessa Kirsting. Some of you will know her or have heard her music. She'll be coming, she'll be part of our worship service that day. And that'll be just a normal 9:30 service. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, you will have the opportunity to give a free will gift to the Christmas Bowl Appeal. So there will be a thing at the back there, so if you wish to make a donation to Christmas Bowl, please do. There won't be any official offering taken up during the service those days. And there was something else that came to mind, but it's just gone, so there's some trouble with getting old. It's time now for us to give back to the Lord a little bit of what he gives us, and also just to acknowledge it's not only just the money and the stuff that he gives us, but also our time, to show that we're prepared to give some of our time to him as well. I mean, these people up here, they volunteer their time to come up, and that's what their gift to God as well. So please, we're going to sing a classic hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, as we sing. Please remain seated. I'll get you to stand for the last verse.
Oh. Let's pray. Gracious God, we bring ourselves to you and say thank you. We thank you for our gifts, those who love us and those we love. We thank you for sustenance, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And we thank you for this family. Lord, receive our thanks for all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, all. For our prayer this morning, I have chosen some words from a book called Cloth for the Cradle, which is a Wild Goose publication with thoughts for this season, and I mix them in amongst my own thoughts and words as we come to our time of intercession. So shall we pray? We bless you, our God, mighty sovereign power, gentle, caring mother. You do not forget your children. We bless you, our God, for your great gifts to us, creation, fragile and fascinating, scripture revealing your truth. And you bless us with your forgiving love, with the vision of your kingdom, shedding light in our darkness. Bless us and disturb us, God, with that vision of your kingdom. And as we voice our hopes to you now, may they strengthen us, reassure us, and move us. We remember the blue, cold child who came to a winter world, O God, where those who were warm and well fed know not of his coming. Sadly, for many people in our world, it is a winter world. There are the starving and the wandering, victims of famine, war, and earthquakes. There are in our nation those who face the debilitating fear of not being needed nor wanted. And the cold, blue, cold child will come again on Christmas Day. In our remembering, let us not forget them, the helpless and the hungry, those who either have no songs to sing or no strength for singing. For in our remembering him, O Lord, we become aware that he was a hand reaching out to the whole world. He was a gift to all. We pray for those caught up in wars around the world, soldiers, refugees, but also those who hold fast to the reasons for the fighting, claiming power and disregarding the futility of war and the devastation of whole communities. We pray for the homeless men, women, and children, excluded from what the rest of us are doing as they fight for dignity, a reason for being, and indeed their very existence. We pray for those who are ill, coping with pain, fearing the worst, and for those for whom the future seems intolerable and who yearn for peace. We pray for those for whom the season is very difficult as they grieve what was, as they remember Christmases past and loved ones no longer present for all kinds of reasons. We pray for those struggling in relationships, especially at this family time when cracks are kept just below the surface. So in silence, we pray for the deepest hopes of our hearts, for ourselves and those whom we love, and the rest of the world. Into this mess of this world, a fragile child would come, yelling in the night for his mother, needing milk and clean linen. Love came down at Christmas, love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas, stars and angels gave the sign. Even in the most difficult circumstances, we pin our hopes on you, little baby, but our God, pushed out into the world through pain and into poverty. Our God is with us, and our hope is reborn. May we share that hope, peace, joy and love, not only at this special time, but every day of our lives. Amen.
The Bible readings for today are from John. First letter of John, chapter 3, and some verses from chapter 4, and then from John, chapter 13. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and in truth. And beginning at verse 7 of 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And these familiar words, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be.
How does God's love live in anyone who has the world's goods? See a person in need, yet yet refuses to help. I better try that again, hadn't I? How does God's love live in anyone who has the world's good and sees a person in need yet refuses to help? I don't want you to take this story the wrong way, but I was filling up at a service station once, and I saw a lady walk across in front of the service station and then just flop on the road right in the on the edge of the driveway. And as I was finishing filling up and so on, a car came in and drove around her and went in to fill up, as we do. And before I went in to pay, I went across and asked the lady, and I said, are you okay? And she said, yes, would you help me up, please? So I helped her up, and I said, where do you want to go? And she said, oh, just across there. So I helped her into the middle of the road near the median strip, and she said, I'm okay now. I have no idea who she was or what the problem was, but I really felt bad that there she was sitting in the driveway of the service station and customers came in and drove around her. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm a little better at loving than at other times. Any wives here can think of times when your husband was really difficult to love? Any husbands here?
Not one.
Not one time. The terrible twins are at it again. Love is one of those words that we sort of turn into something super duper, don't we? And it can end up being quite mushy. Is that an appropriate word? Mushy? But love needs to be tough at times. A few years ago, just before the start of COVID, however long that was, I lose track of time. And I might have told you part of this story before, but there was a killing in an Aboriginal community, and 250 members of that community fled to Cairns. There'd been a riot, property was burnt, people were hurt. And the synod and presbytery asked me to provide pastoral care for those people, so I had to go hunting for them. And one day a lady said to me, oh, I've got a friend who's in trouble. Could you go and help her? And I said, yes, sure. What's happened? She said, oh, there was a bit of trouble at a motel where she was staying. There are people were sort of staying in all sorts of places over all around Cairns. So they said, she's staying with so-and-so. So I went and picked her up, and she said, yes, the motel's locked all my goods away and won't give them to me. And could you help me get it back? You know, there was some people caused some problems last night in the motel. I said, oh, yes, I'll do that. So I drove her there, and she said, look, I'll go in and see if I can get my things, and if I need your help, I'll come and get you. Well, she came back and she said, they won't give me my goods. They want to charge me a whole heap of money for door locks and all sorts of things like that. And I thought, the mystery is getting more complicated. So we walked into the office, and there was the manager and the receptionist waiting for us. And this Aboriginal woman walked up to the manager and said, this man is my lawyer. It would have been nice if she had told me. And I said to her, you go and sit in that chair in the corner and do not move. Sometimes love has to be fairly tough. And I said, do not move and do not say anything. I'll sort this out for you. So I turned and spoke to the manager and I said, I'm not her lawyer, I'm her pastor. And he took in a breath. And I said, how can I help to solve the problem? And he said, well, there were people who came around here causing a lot of trouble and a key's missing, so we have to change door locks, and that's rather expensive. He said, I was going to charge her so much, but he said, if you can pay me, I think it was $100, I'll get her goods out of the lockup and she can have them, and I'll never ever want to see her again. Which didn't surprise me. And so I paid the $100. She got her things back. I took her back to her family and informed them of what I'd done. And she was not happy with me at all. I'd saved her quite a bit of money and quite a bit of embarrassment, but she was not happy with me. And she said, I'm going to go and live with somebody else. So she sort of disappeared. The family didn't know where she was, nor did I, which that was okay. But sometimes not only does our love have to be tough, it has to accept that sometimes, despite our best efforts, our love is not appreciated, and sometimes it's even rejected. I don't know whether reading poetry is anything that you love. And I don't know how many of you may have noticed that one of Australia's great cartoonists and poets died this week. Michael Learnig. We love Michael Learnig. And if you're not familiar, Michael Learnig has these, he writes, sometimes they're longer, but sometimes little rather whimsical, pithy pieces. And a little duck and a little bloke with a funny shaped head often appear in those cartoons and those writings of reflection. And one that I've always loved, and it really is an opening one in this book, which is called When I Talk to You, A Cartoonist Talks to God. Love is born with a dark and troubled face when hope is dead, and in the most unlikely pace, love is born. Love is always born. Christmas Day is every day. The birth of Christ needs to be expressed in our love, in our hope, in our compassion every day. And the love that we share is a love that is born with a dark and troubled face. You know what it's like when it's really hard to love somebody. When a teenager says to you, we don't have any teenagers left, do we? Or some of us may. When a teenager says, I hate you and I never want to see you again. And we want to say to them, after all I've done for you, you treat me like this. Sometimes the only way some people are able to express any kind of love, appreciation, or frustration is to attack. And that teenager will turn around in the not too distant future and say, "Mum, Dad, you know I always love you, don't you?" And you think, "Phew." Yes. We have a daughter who started suffering from depression in her teens. A few weeks ago, she turned 59. And that still troubles her. And loving is not always easy. Loving is not always a joyous thing. Now, when our husband, our wife, our partner, our child gives us a hard time and we find it hard to love them, how do we do it? We don't feel loving. How do we do it? Any ideas? You keep going.
Love
does cover a multitude of sins, but what David is saying, I think we make a choice. Yes. We make a choice. You're an absolute pain in the neck at the moment, but I still choose to love you. I could easily get up and walk out and not come back again, but I still choose to love you. I don't know why I ever married you, but I still choose to love you. Whew, I'm glad Judy's not here this morning. Our daughter Lynn, who is attached to that little fluffy white dog that I talk a lot about, there's an Ambo, and she thought she might come to church this morning, but I see she's not here, and I think she was ramped for 5 hours one day this week. Lynn has always been the most gracious, gentle kid you could ever wish to meet. Now, that kid's now coming 57. And we rarely had cross words or differences with Lynn. And one day, Lynn and I were having a difference of opinion. And Lynn, as a 10 or 12-year-old, said to me, "Dad, I am not as silly as you look." And after all these years, she treats me the same. She's a beautiful person. And sometimes we adults need to swallow some pride to see a new facet on the diamond of love. And sometimes we need to say, like Michael Lunig says, love is born in this child, in this wife, this husband, this colleague, this boss. Love is born today. Love is always born. You see, another Bible passage that we could have read this morning comes from 1 Corinthians 13. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? Love is patient. It's kind. It's not envious, arrogant, rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. It never rejoices in the wrong, but rejoices in the truth. Now, when I'm working with couples, I say to them, this Bible passage says, love is patient, blah, blah, blah. God, we could put God's name in there. God is patient, kind, God's not envious, etc. How about we bung your name in? Now, I'm not going to pick out anybody in the congregation and use their name, But you do it for yourself. When I say I, you say your name to yourself. I am patient. I am kind. I'm never envious. I'm never boastful. I'm never arrogant or rude. I never insist on my own way. I'm never irritable or resentful. Hey, how are you going?
Not so well.
No. We never rejoice in the wrong. We only rejoice in those things that are the truth. And that passage ends up, you'll remember, love believes, hopes, and endures all things. In Marge's prayer, she referred to the people whose lives and countries are being destroyed by war at the moment. The weaponry that the world has developed in the last 100 years is horrific. It's horrific. And we have people who say that our half of the world is the right half, and your half of the world is the wrong half, what we call the East and the West. And until our half trashes your half, the world won't be right. So the other half says, yes, but if our half trashes your half, the world will be right. An Orthodox bishop in Moscow is deeply embroiled in Putin's inner circle. For reasons that we're never told, he is extremely wealthy. And he is very proud that Putin comes to his church now and again. And Putin uses that as a lever. But there are Christians, there are religious people in Ukraine, in Sudan. There are Christian people in Israel and Lebanon and the Gaza Strip and the Golan Heights and Syria and Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan, and the list goes on. And we live in a world where we say, to hell with this story about love being born every day. I want my own way. I want my country to be in control. I want my beliefs to dominate. And when I get to this point in my thinking, how do you see or think I feel? I feel angry, very angry. And people ask me at times, where does anger start? It starts with being frustrated. It starts with being disempowered. It starts with feeling unloved. And it develops into desperation and the will to do anything even things that are destructive, to get its own way. And it denies love is born in us. Love is born today. And as 1 Corinthians 13 finishes, love never ends. Love never ends. And because love is always born, we face each day knowing that we have a new beginning today. We have a new opportunity today. We have another chance for forgiveness today. And we have another call to be encouragers today. Love is not love, so a poster says, unless you give it away. And some people are able to give love away all the time, regardless of who it is. Now, you know who I mean by the person I give the nickname Lord Woofter. Elton visited a man sitting on his bed, sitting crossways on his bed with his feet sticking out over the side. And I lifted Elton's front end up onto the bed, as I often do, to talk to him. And he did something that he'd never done before. He crawled, kept his back feet on the floor, crawled across with his front legs, right across to the man's hips, and had his body pressed against his leg, and he just snuggled up there and stayed there for 20 minutes while we talked. He'd never done that before. That man's wife, who was also in that facility, had died a few weeks ago. That no longer surprises me. And one of the best examples I can think of unconditional love is that of a, look at it. We're talking about you, and you're supposed to be loving all the time, and you're asleep. Yes, unconditional love. It can be hard work. And sometimes in the New Testament we see that Jesus gets frustrated with the faith and the love and the disciples. Do you remember the healing of the little epileptic boy? He was demon possessed. That's what they said. And a lot of cultures still call all sorts of illnesses demon possession. And the father says to Jesus, I took my son to your disciples and they couldn't help him. And Jesus showed a little bit of frustration. You might even think anger. And he said to his disciples, do you remember his words? Oh, we forget these words because they bite. How long do I have to be with you? What does it take to get through to you? About prayer and faithfulness and love. Love is present. Love is born in this world. But it is absent. And its absence means damage. We have the opportunity in the birth of Christ to have love in and through and beyond us, because love is always born, always new. and always fresh. Let's pray. Love is born with a dark and troubled face, when hope is dead and in the most unlikely place. Love is born. Love is always born. We're going to sing One Candle Is Lit again, but this time all four verses that we've sung through Advent.
And just when we do finish this and after the benediction, please remain standing as we will be singing the doxology Now Unto Him.
I think we'll sing the benediction. You don't want to hear anything more from me at all.
Now.